This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, a storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good. And for the first time ever, we are joined by a guest.
Oh my god, this is so exciting, yeah. You guys. So let's just quickly introduce our guest. This is the wonderful, the amazing, the super talented, extra kind, mega generous.
What is that face, Michelle?
This is the tremendous Michelle Agresti, who we had the privilege and the honor of working with on Wolf 359, the audio drama series that we produced before we made this show, and who we are very, very lucky to have in our studio today. Thank you so much for joining us, Michelle.
Thank you guys for having me and giving me such a nice introduction. Because this is an audio medium, what I was doing was I was making a face while they were doing it. Which is why they were laughing at me. It's actually a face that I make really often because I can look like the Grinch.
Oh. Right?
Yeah. No, the smile is...
That's pretty good.
This is pretty good.
That's a very good talent for this holiday season.
Mm-hmm. I can look just like the Grinch.
Oh, and also
the green probably takes a little bit.
Also, speaking of introductions, over there is Zach Valenti, over here is Sarah Shackett. I'm Gabby Rubina. You're all really tired about us. Yeah. Let's get back to talking about Michelle.
So am I still being introduced, or should I say the idea?
Actually, we can get going on the first half of the episode right away, now that I think about it. So, for anyone who is joining us for the first time, the way that No Bad Ideas works is that one of us brings a story or an article or something from the internet to everyone else that in some way fits the definition of the words bad idea. Just something that when you hear it, you go, oh boy, that's a bad idea.
Yep.
And then the rest of us have 30 minutes to turn that original bad idea into a good story, whether it's a good story for a film or a good story for a book or a good story for a podcast. But just how do you mine gold out of that original terrible idea? And this week, Michelle is going to be the bad idea provider du jour, which means that for the first time ever, Zach, Sarah, and I are all going to be on the defensive, and we're all going to be at the mercy of the bad idea.
I'm excited
for you guys to hear this idea.
Oh boy.
It's also themed because it's a terrible idea for a Christmas gift.
Oh, great.
Oh, that's great.
And we are recording this post-holiday season.
That's right.
Everyone can calibrate for the future.
Yes. Don't do this next year. Okay, so the idea comes from a website. Well, it's an app called Nextdoor, which is an app where neighbors connect with each other. It's like a Facebook for your neighborhood. And if anybody's lived in a small town or small neighborhood before, it gets ridiculous. And of course, it gets ridiculous on the internet. And I'm pulling this from the Twitter account Best of Nextdoor, which posts crazy stuff on Nextdoor. And the headline is, "Teach my partner how to be an Instagram boyfriend."
Oh boy.
I just want to note, because this is radio, that you did hand quotations around Instagram boyfriend.
That's exactly what's in the header. It's right. Instagram boyfriend.
So this is even elevating. Okay, cool. Great.
We're so not ready.
It reads, "Hi, Nextdoor. I'm looking for someone in the neighborhood who has iPhone photography skills."
Oh, man.
iPhone photography skills.
Oh, my God.
To give my boyfriend,
yes,
a few tips when it comes to taking my photo.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Oh, this is so much worse than I thought it was.
Oh, this is shame.
Oh my God.
No, it gets even better. "I'm a very attractive woman, But somehow, every photo he... Yeah, right. But somehow, every photo he takes of me makes me look like a trash fire.
Oh, buddy.
Oh, my God.
Help! Still not over. I'm Holy looking fuck. To give this lesson,
oh,
in
no.
quotations, to him as a Christmas gift mm-hmm. next month. Thinking a 1 hour lesson in exchange for a $250 fee.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow.
Thanks in advance.
And 1 second, just to be clear, like that is the Christmas present, not like to herself, but like to the boyfriend.
Yes. Yes.
Right. It okay. sounds like the Christmas present is I will give you one more shot at being my boyfriend.
Right. We're not going to like take a cooking class together. You're going to learn how to fucking take a picture of me.
Right.
Wow. Right, exactly. Here's a mandatory 1 hour session that I will pay some stranger $250 for that hour. So you better learn something.
Oh, my God.
That's real money on the line. Yeah. That's awesome.
Wow.
And horrible.
Yep. So her idea for a Christmas present was to get someone to teach her boyfriend how to take a good
photos
picture
of her.
All right, Michelle, set a 30-minute timer. Let's see what we can do here.
Holy
oh
shit.
Oh, my God. I hope one of you knows.
Nope.
All right.
So
1 second.
Okay.
Let's wait for a timer.
Yeah.
Ready and begin.
So I feel like the funniest story is the unsuspecting tutor that has no idea
what they're walking
what they're getting into.
The aspiring photographer
wow.
who
That's
just
right.
like really wants to make
He's
it.
He's fresh faced and bushy tailed in LA, ready to go. And oh my God.
Wow.
The emotional labor.
Yeah, actually.
Hustling on Nextdoor.
Yeah,
gigs.
Right. That's yeah. right.
I mean, yes. you have to be on all the platforms, right? Just like all of them.
Mm-hmm. Oof.
There's, I think, like two possible entry points into this from what I can see. And one is very much kind of like what you're describing of like you are following kind of like, hi, I'm so-and-so. I just moved to this neighborhood and I happen to be like, mildly successful on Instagram. Oh, look, this looks like an easy way to make money. And then the rest of the story is how they have to become basically like a marriage counselor for the ages mm-hmm. without realizing mm-hmm. that is what they are actually getting into by teaching this poor guy photography.
Right.
The other route is do it from the perspective of the unskilled partner. And then it's about how like they're dating this person who has this very bizarre habit of, like, instead of confronting them directly, posting these weird, passive-aggressive, like, calls for help, and how you're kind of trying to reach out to someone that when you ask them directly, they're just kind of like, nope, everything is fine, everything is great, everything is wonderful.
Right.
And then they turn around, and clearly everything is not wonderful at all.
Right.
And then becomes sort of about
or
that
even
relationship.
You could, you know, take it further and just have like these two people who are clearly very pleasant with each other in person, but are just airing all of the dirty laundry on the internet.
Yeah.
And like the internet is just their outlet for all of the aggression in their relationship.
Which of course is hilarious because they want to be good at Instagram, which
yes!
means that they clearly prize presenting a very specific and like picture perfect version of themselves.
Curated.
On the internet. Oh my God, what a mind trip.
So who falls in love?
Right.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, okay, who fall? Does the photographer fall for the boyfriend? Does the girlfriend fall for the photographer? Does the couple re-fall in love
with
each other?
I mean,
do we want that?
I think that, like, obviously both of them would fall in love with the photographer.
Obviously.
Right,
because,
right.
like,
oh,
on the one
yeah.
hand, they would be a much better fit for the partner that doesn't have the skills. And then on the other hand, the other person, the one that wants to have a partner that is good at Instagram, would
is
see
happy
the skills
about the
immediately.
Instagram skills,
right,
and would
right.
be
yeah.
like, whoa, you're the one that I need to actually be dating. Like, you are much better for the brand.
Oh, boy.
What if it was all a ruse to find a third?
Oh,
right.
Like
I like
they're
that.
Actually
That's sort
just
of
looking
like,
for the unicorn. That will take the great photos.
Right. And yeah, it's maybe the photographer realizing that both is good.
Yeah, they move. Fresh face, new neighborhood, welcome to Los Angeles.
Also, here's $250 an hour to be in a relationship with the two of us.
And take
oh
amazing
God.
Pictures of us both.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Wow, that would be so weird if like, you know, he's tutoring, like, the one of them. Yeah. Which we need to, like, give them names or something, because we're starting to just be like... But, like, yeah, like, he's tutoring the one of them that needs those skills. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, he, like, accidentally, like, flips back one page, one photo further, and is like, wait a minute, this photo's really good. And then these, they're going through, like, their photos, and all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, you actually don't need to be tutored. What is going on here?
Right,
this
right.
This has all been a ruse.
This entire time.
And we haven't talked about the perspective of the girl who put the ad up.
Right.
No, and yeah, what is she actually after? Whether it's Instagram glory or a partner that meets her expectations differently or something else. And I don't know that I have a strong opinion just yet. I suppose we need to decide like how mean she actually is.
Right, because there's absolutely a way to play this where it would be... I have tried everything to shake my partner out of the rut that they're in, and they badly need a project. They badly need something to
like
get them
Instagram,
going.
And they like Instagram, but they're just not good at it.
Right. And just like having someone to push them might actually be enough to get them going. It's possible to sort of have that very generous perspective on this person.
Yeah, I wouldn't say the text of the ad suggests that. No, but I think we're just taking a departure. We're just using the situation of doing this.
There's a very clear way to read the ad. Yes.
And the ad definitely suggests a tone that is a little bit more like, mirror, mirror on the wall. Why am I not the fairest of them all on Instagram? Oh, it's my boyfriend's fault. Somebody fix it.
Yeah.
Right.
It's sort
this
of like
clearly my boyfriend.
This weird mutated mirror of Ingrid Goes West.
I was just thinking
just
that.
Like,
yeah.
It's not a fixation on a stranger. It's a fixation on a partner to be like at a higher level.
No, I was thinking about that. About like this could be like prequel to Ingrid Goes West.
Oh man,
where
yeah,
it's
where
like
she meets
the boyfriend
oh,
and sort
God.
Of the training regimen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Wait, before we get too excited, Michelle and Zach, have y'all seen Ingrid Goes West?
I have not.
Okay. I haven't
but
either.
That's okay.
Will neither confirm nor deny that I have had a friend date an Instagram person who was like, for a while, like not allowed in the photos. And then by the time they were, was not interested in being in said photos after having earned the right because of the perceived, you know, sort of like, just like, yeah, I feel like there are complicated layers of like being with somebody who spends so much energy in their life, like projecting an image
absolutely
into the world and like curating themselves so carefully.
Modern love. That's a problem. I like very briefly dated someone whose ex was like Twitter famous.
Yeah.
And like that was a thing. Like you would get talked about on the Twitter. It was weird.
Oof.
I hope nobody listens to that. Sorry, friends. but yeah, it's like something to consider now in the landscape that we're with. It's like when you're dating someone, it's a possibility that they may have an online persona that you're going to have to deal with, especially if it's a business. Like, you know, if they're an influencer or something.
Yep.
Right.
And they're making money off of it. And like...
Yeah.
And in many ways, what this is asking is... I need my partner to be better at enabling me to be that person more of the time. Like,
yeah.
I need to be... They keep sort of disrupting my ability to be my online designed self.
Yeah, it would be interesting if, like, the bad photos were this sort of very passive, aggressive strategy to, like, put the phone down and let's have dinner.
I see.
Because, like, if you've given up on this, then we can have an interaction and you don't need to be worried about what you're doing online. But, like you were saying, Michelle, for a lot of people, this is a business. And influencers need to be able to broadcast just a huge chunk of their existence in order to get those sweet, sweet ad dollars.
Yeah, to just be relevant enough. I mean, this is like why I'm glad that I took a break from Instagram, because I feel like I was trending in the direction of how do I broadcast all of my life? Just like got to this really unhealthy place of like, no. How do I live my life and like have this stuff in it without it becoming like it just, it becomes sort of a cage more than.
So we could either do like this sort of social media cautionary tale, twisted comedy, or we could do like a straighter rom-com with a love triangle between the photographer and the couple.
Right.
Like The Wedding Planner.
Like The Wedding Planner.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
J-Lo.
Ooh.
She's a wedding planner. You can guess what happens from there.
It writes itself.
Let me guess. She has to plan her own wedding.
That...
No, it's someone else.
Does she fall in love with somebody she's planning a wedding for?
Yes.
Much there better. You go.
Yeah. And the wife is the awful. Two. The wife is awful. Ah. Yeah.
And returning back to our Instagram dilemma.
Yes.
I think that what's interesting, though, is that kind of at like its core, you have someone in a relationship that is going, I need someone to come in and teach my partner how to look at me, like or to depict me.
Yes.
Like, I need to change the way that like my partner, what considers my partner me. Sees yeah. in me. And that is something that is, I think that like the mistake would be to just have it be the photographer and the boyfriend go off to Instagram camp for 2 months on their own.
Yes.
And sizzlingly fall in love, even though they can't like stand each other at first. And they're both stuck with the stupid person. I think that what is actually interesting and unique about this story is that it is a relationship that is being built around how do you see this other person that we are both invested in. And I think that that goes to like a much more vertigo fucked up place
sure.
than sort of anything that can happen between just the photographer and the partner.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like the focus we're pulling towards is toward the poor boyfriend who needs to be trained or to get out. And it sounds like we're going to definitely have the girlfriend like being the model for the lessons or whatever. And the photographer having a very, very different interpretation of how to not only just like the mechanics of it, but like what is good about this person.
Let's dig into this for a second. How do they get the boyfriend to go along with this? So the boyfriend receives this Christmas present and it's like, surprise, you get to work with whoever and they're going to teach you how to photograph me real Instagram. How on earth does someone go, yes, that sounds awesome? Are they just like that weak-willed and that controlled by their partner?
Hmm. That's a good point.
See, so this is where it depends how close to the original thing we want to stick. Like, is it just 1 hour or does it become the like, you now live with us and like, you know, your room and board or cover, like you're basically like the help, but like in this weird fucked up social media age. Where instead of like bringing us our supper, you just are constantly like at the ready with your like portrait mode on and like a little light in your hand to like get the, you know, get the photos while the photo getting's good.
Interesting.
Sort of like a digital caddy, like a social media sort of like, you know, like, oh, social media is so addictive. That's why I have the help. And it's like, you know, that's why we got Steve from in the neighborhood.
I think it would have to be like, it wouldn't be like, and we're having this lesson. It would be like, the present would be that person shows up.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That person has to enter the space and it's a surprise to one partner and not a surprise to the other. Even though I think in the scenario you were just describing is that the both people in the relationship would have been in agreement. Like, oh, we need a social media person. And like just kind of taking social media manager to the extreme of like, we have a photographer live with us. Even though isn't that what Beyonce does?
I actually don't know.
I have no idea.
She had her own photographer. I know this because she had esophageal cancer, and that was in the news. But also, some photos of Beyonce got released after the Super Bowl of her making hilarious faces because she's dancing. So someone like took some photos, these were like the unflattering ones, and some of them got released. And like her and her team like freaked out, got them pulled from the internet, and apparently like the photos of Beyonce we see are from her own photographer.
Mm-hmm.
So like the image is very tightly controlled.
Yes. That makes sense.
That makes all the sense.
Yeah.
So actually, the idea of somebody living with you and photographing your life is not that
the White House has it.
Yeah, it's not far fetched at all. Like
right, and but right. I guess my question is like, are they just showing up for that hour? Like, are they like, a brief like plot point?
Probably not.
Let me throw a stone in the pond.
Okay.
Not to give this the twist that we always give this, but to take it to the place that we always end up taking it. It could also be the Black Mirror version of this, where the Christmas present is that the girlfriend buys the boyfriend a app on their phone that is like a digital helper a la Samantha from Her.
Got it.
That is sort of like every time that like he's like
about to take a shitty picture. It's like up
a little bit. No, like trust me, the light is a lot better. No, wait for it. Tell her. And like maybe it's all like a direct link to like something that only he can hear.
Right. Cyrano de Bergerac-ing him into having a different kind of relationship. Fascinating.
And I, in a way, buy that a lot more easily, even though like the technology is a stretch, than him agreeing to have another person follow him.
Right. What I like better about it, or like even if, so here's another way you could do it. Like maybe it's not just an AI, it's like somebody who's like constantly monitoring them out of the like all the cameras in their house, like their Amazon Alexa's, you know, and like on Tuesdays it's like Sherry, and on like Wednesdays it's Fred.
Wow, and they have like an entire team.
And it's not just like taking better photos of the girlfriend; it's also like buying better sweaters and like eating healthier and like
it's a brand consultation.
And like all of a sudden just immediately after they sign up for the service, like every day there's like this overwhelming gift for the girlfriend from the service from him.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh honey, you should like,
no, this like, is like a horror become, film like, about living in a Gap ad. I love it.
It's right.
Wow. Like
of like truly having an Instagram boyfriend, and the Instagram boyfriend is a digital app.
Right.
Yeah.
That does boyfriend things that you can Instagram.
Right.
Like sends you stuff and looks cute and like takes this photo of you and like takes you to this place so you can take photos. Like I literally heard a story about a friend of a friend who was on Tinder.
Uh-huh.
That's who coming, was like, by the way, Twinder.
Twinder. Thrinder. there is.
For thruples?
Yes.
Wow. Wow. We just have everything these days.
That like she would go on Tinder dates and she'd try to go somewhere cool so she could get her date to take a picture of her there. You know, and like.
Wow.
Yeah. So having an app that acts like the Instagram boyfriend.
Right.
Well, so,
turned your boyfriend into an Instagram-worthy boyfriend.
Yeah. So this reminds me, there was an article about the new iPhone that like it doesn't represent like it takes photos that like take away your wrinkles and your pimples. Like,
oh, it does.
And you can't
touching.
Turn it off. Yeah, it does like retouching, and so you're not actually looking at reality when you look into these pictures or into the looking, even the preview.
That, I don't.
It's
feel
like
good about
fucked
that.
Up by the algorithms to make it all look better. And so, like, I love the idea
better
of like
between like
right.
big.
So she's
quotes.
Like, "Honey, I got you something. It's the Instagram premium boyfriend filter." And so like he can't take photos without a six pack, even though he's like not, you know, like all of a sudden he's just like 10 times handsomer in the camera lens only.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, what? Like he's just been edited.
Yeah.
Oh, that's I kind of want
to take this
to
like
obsessed.
A Flowers for Algernon kind of place. And like, this doesn't last forever.
I'm really struggling on the references this week.
It's a sci-fi story.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, there are mouses and smart drugs and sadness, lots of sadness. But basically, like someone is artificially made much smarter, and then because it is temporary.
That's sad.
Yes, and I kind of want this to. I haven't quite worked out how this works yet, but be like. The Christmas gift is like you get an Instagram boyfriend plugin, but the free trial, like the trial that you bought, lasts a week. And if you want the subscription, then you have to pay an amazing amount of money.
Right.
So then it becomes about like, how do I afford the like year subscription so that I can be this person all the time?
Oh yeah. Right. And you know that the app is called Cyrano. Like, you know,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Mm.
And I love the idea of like the app has like the poster child who paid for the subscription by doing the free trial.
Yes.
And so it's like, just be like that person.
Right.
But nobody's like that person.
Here's my next question. So like, you know, so the guy gets, whether it's a team of people that is guiding him or like the
app.
Artificial app, whatever it is, like he's got like the guidance now. And so, you know, he's like, oh, I'm going to go pick up some flowers for my girlfriend. And he's about to pick up some peonies. And the app is like, no. Lilacs. Trust me. So he goes with the lilacs. But then 1 week later, he comes back and he's like, no. I think I'm really, really feeling the peonies. Mm-hmm. And the app is like, don't do it, man. Lilacs. Like, no. I'm really feeling this other flower. What happens then? Is the app just like, on your head it be? Or is the app like, great, and now for unrelated reasons, this like annoying tone is going to play inside your like headset? And, you know, like sort of like, is there sort of a more stringent punishment system?
That would very much go to a Black Mirror place if there was, which I am not opposed to. But like, maybe it wouldn't be, you know, like a shock collar or something like that. Maybe it would be like something embarrassing about you is leaked online.
Whereas I feel like if you're,
I like that better.
If you're paying for it, like it, that would be so against it, but it would just like edit the any flowers you get to look like lilacs.
Oh,
it's just
sure.
like, oh, you want to get other things? Chill. But like nothing.
I see.
Is like allowed to look the way it is according to like whatever the app's preference is for what is like trendy or hot.
But 1 second, I feel that now we're talking about like two separate things, because if it's like actually giving you advice on what flowers to get the girlfriend in real life,
yes,
then it needs you to get the right flowers.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's only controlling the images, then it can edit everything.
Right.
Yeah.
And what you do is kind of irrelevant.
Right. Yeah.
And it really makes it about presentation.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like that, the whole point of it was like, you know, I like you as a person, but I need this image.
Right.
Yes.
And like, I feel like that could be interesting to investigate, being like, hey, you know, it's like, I like you, but you know, I'm an internet person. I'm an Instagram influencer and I just need things to look a certain way. So let's use this app just so that I can have the things that I need to use.
And it's less pressure on you. Yeah. Like this way you don't need.
Right. You don't have to worry
about
this.
And then disaster ensues. Well, what's a disaster then?
Right. Because like this person gets cast into a movie and now they got to go to the Oscars and everybody's going to find out.
Right.
If they show up with the real person. So then does the service like dispatch the actor that it was based on, or like grow a person that can like basically replace you as the person that it's created this image of? Like,
right. Or like,
how sci-fi do we want to go with it?
Does the boyfriend fall in love with the curated image of himself that he's?
Right. That'd be
does
cool.
he need like gene therapy to be
project,
like,
being forced to project? Being forced to project.
Or alternatively, there may just come a moment when like it's like, look, you can do whatever you care about, like whatever you want to do in real life. That's up to you. Online, she has now broken up with you and is dating Joe McHandsome. Like, you know, like now, like, you know, this needs to be sort of like what the brand needs. And Joe is on a similar thing. Like Joe has a girlfriend that like he's actually with, but like in public, they need to be the couple. And so, like, they're going to go to the Oscars together.
Don't right. think that's that far from reality.
Yeah.
Well,
Joe McHandsome, I love his work.
Right.
And then, like, if you were to upset that delicate balance and someone were able to document evidence of it, then the app would probably have you do all sorts of backflips in order to get out of it.
Right. Like, the app might just kind of go, like, oh, did you want to drive? Fine, drive. And then it just like shuts up for a week and you're like on your own all of a sudden.
So it has a personality.
And we've sort of been kind of loose about whether it's like closer to Clippy or closer to Samantha from Her.
Or whether it's closer to like the support, like the support team that is like, you have been assigned like 5 people that are covering you around the clock.
Right.
And they're
right.
like the evil version of the Fab 5, I guess.
Right.
That's funny.
Or they're the good version of the Fab 5 taken to an extreme place where it becomes evil.
This is a good question.
How much time is on the clock?
So we have 7 minutes on the clock.
Okay. All right, we should probably decide some stuff.
And I think that like we might want to get back to the question that Michelle asked, that is, what is the inevitable disaster that eventually happens? Like sort of what is the point at which something goes truly wrong, as opposed to this is an annoying series of escalations?
I have something that might work, although I think it would change the direction we're going in a little bit. So he buys peonies instead of lilacs. And the app is like, oh, you think you know better. Peace. And then the week that the boyfriend is really and truly on his own, actually, like, he does something in that weird internet way that goes viral and, like, sets a new trend.
Oh, man. And one of his trash fire photos of her just, like, goes viral,
right,
and she becomes a meme, and she gets all the followers she's
or
ever
not,
wanted.
Not even that, but just, like, becomes part of Instagram style. Like, sort of pushes the template a little bit further. So suddenly the team, the Fab Five, have to, like, recalibrate what their definition of good is based on this dude. And it becomes, like, this conflict between the dude and his original support team.
Oh, and, like, if he became bigger than her,
yes,
then, like, all of a sudden the Fab Five is going, like, don't, like, you don't need her. Like, you'll be better without her.
Oh,
like,
man.
You can get more follows.
Right, and he doesn't want to break up with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
So why doesn't he want to break up with his girlfriend, though?
This is a good question.
This is actually a really good,
like,
question.
What are we going to do about this central beginning relationship, at least?
Right.
I mean, it sort of depends, because this could be a movie about these are two people that need to remember that who they are when the cameras turn off is who they actually are. And that is the reason why they started dating, like, however they connect in that moment. It could also become a movie about one of them realizing that the person who I am in private is who I really am, and then I put a mask on when I go out in public. And the other person realizing, I think that the person that I am in public is who I really am, and there is now this mask that I wear in private.
Yeah.
And that is sort of the one where they both go their separate ways. But yeah, I think that, like, we would need to sort of flesh out a little bit of, like,
what their relationship is.
And also just, like, a little bit of, like, what part of the Instagram world are they trying to conquer? Are these people that are interested in, like, the world of fashion? Are these people that are interested in the world of comedy? Are these people that are interested in the world of acting? Or even, like, yeah, like, fitness? all of that, like, impacts what the core of the relationship would have to be.
So the idea is that they're a team?
It could be.
It could be.
Yeah.
It could be. We also have 3 minutes.
Yeah. My perception of the original is that she is on Instagram. He is the behind the scenes
force that just, like, takes pictures and does them so badly that,
that something needs to be done.
Right.
Yeah.
I sort of like the idea of, like, okay, just to, like, nail some things down.
Yeah.
Tell me if this is crazy. So it's an AI app thing that,
okay,
like, has all the advice in the world. And it has some real strong opinions on training when you do the wrong thing. So it's like he goes out to get the flowers and he, like, you know, and, like, it's been working. And then he buys the wrong flowers and it just shuts down for, like, a week. It's like, you know, like, fuck you. And maybe there's not a consideration of, like, being able to pay for it. It's just like you need to live by the letter of its law. Or it cuts you off and, like, you have to deal with the consequences. And so during that week that it's off, he takes a photo that is as off as it's ever been. And that, like, goes, like, incredibly viral in a way that, like, has her get what she wanted, but not the way she wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
But then when the app comes back online, it, like, wants credit for the, like, the growth numbers. And I definitely took it further than just summarizing what we've done so far. But please kill what you hate. And
I just wonder what happens in the relationship.
Yeah.
Like,
and, like, whether, you know, it could be that, you know, we've been talking about the boyfriend as sort of like this person who might be in a slump, who may be like this. Maybe the lawyer or the boyfriend is like he has a career or he has a life, and, like, Instagram is, like, what his girlfriend does. And he really wants to be supportive and he wants her to have the success and feel mastery at something. And it's just not something he's good at, but she really wants for them to be a team. Mm-hmm. And it becomes about creativity and collaboration. And like, that wasn't something that was a part of their relationship, but could it be?
I like that.
And then how does that change at the end?
Yeah, this is a question. I mean, I think the version where they stay together is where he realizes that he can truly express who he is online as well. And there's also a version that's a little bit more Ingrid Goes West, where he realizes that this person is kind of beyond saving. And, you know, his long-suffering friend is, you know, maybe someone who he should be more interested in, and he should leave this crazy person alone, or, you know, whatever.
I kind of like the idea of at the end of the movie, or whatever, the story, that he achieves a success without the app, and then the two of them, like, really join forces, and it kind of, like, from at the beginning of the story, if you told us the end of the story, I'd be like, wow, that's twisted. So they run a successful Instagram influencer business? Like, what a weird world. But during the course of the story, we've gotten on their side. And by the end, We're like, oh, what a happy ending for these people, like, to have success curating images. And then you kind of, like, look at yourself at the end of the story being like, wait, why? Why did you like that? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think is, like, weird and interesting and is a happy ending for some people now. Oh, gosh. Ah, time.
Oh, man, that's yes! The best alarm we've had.
I know, we've had stuff on silence.
And that's perfect. Awesome. Yeah, that's the ending.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's the arc.
That is it.
Great.
What a great idea, Michelle.
Yeah, thank you so much for bringing that. That was awesome. All right, we're going to take a quick break, guys, and we'll be right back.
All right, we are going to break into the show for just a minute to say a couple announcements, and then we will get back to really quick announcements. Then we get back to the wonderful Michelle Agresti.
Thank you all so much to everyone that has left us a review on Apple Podcast, everyone that has left us a rating on Apple Podcast, everyone that has shared the show and said nice things and given it to other people that might like it. Look, real talk, we don't spend any money advertising this show. We cannot afford to really get it out there. So we're really dependent on you guys getting it out there. And you have done such an amazing, unbelievable job of sharing the show with other people. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much. And if you haven't left a review yet, if you haven't rated us on Apple Podcasts, it's the holidays. It's the time to be giving and sharing. And I think that you should really consider giving the gift to yourself.
Right.
Of the amazing satisfaction that you feel when you leave a 5-star review for... No, I'm kidding. No, but really, we would appreciate it so much if you just could just take... I don't know. What does it take to leave a review? 30 seconds?
So there's the 1 out of 5-star ratings, which just
That takes 3 seconds.
Takes a couple seconds. And
but real talk, though, the reviews mean so much because we are shouting into microphones in a basement. And we really don't know what we're doing unless we hear from y'all about what you like, about how you enjoy the show.
What you'd like to hear more of.
What you'd like to hear more of.
It has the added benefit of making us more popular with the robots that then show us to more people.
Oh, yes.
This is true.
The algorithms on the Apple Podcast.
But seriously, some of the reviews have been so cool. And like,
it's so kind.
Yeah, and it's great that, you know, we're doing this to give ourselves more creative energy, and it's wonderful that it's given other people more creative energy, and we would love to hear from those of you who haven't reviewed us yet, what you would be interested in, what you... would like to see more of. And so, yes, please give us a rating and a review. I'm not going to say or. I'm going to say and.
Ooh, bold choice.
And help us make more of the show, because that we really need the robots to like us to keep doing this.
And if after all of that you still want to give us more creative energy, there's a way to do that, and that is by becoming a recurring donor to the No Bad Ideas Patreon. That just means that you sign up to give a little bit, however much you choose, whatever feels right, every time that we put out a new episode of the show. And that helps us to make the show, to cover the costs of putting it up online, to find the time to make the show. It even helps us make bonus content for the show that we make available to the people that support us. And if you like the show, you might like what we've been doing recently, which is Blitz Editions, which is basically a bonus 5-minute version of No Bad Ideas every week, where we tackle another bad idea and try to turn it into a story in just 5 minutes. It involves so much panicked fast talking. It is absolutely great. We love doing it. And we are so grateful that people have let us do it.
Yeah.
So thank you for your support. If you're a patron, if you're not, please consider signing up to give us any amount that you're comfortable with per episode at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. That's nobadideaspodcast.com/support. It'll take you straight to our Patreon page where you can sign up and check out our awesome rewards and stretch goals.
Thank you so much, you guys.
It really means the world.
And now the back half of the show, where we take a second to just kind of talk a little bit about what's been going on in our lives, or if there are any things about working, creativity, writing, stories that have been on our minds. A little bit of a space to talk about all of that.
Yeah, just catch up.
Yeah. And we're very curious to hear what has been on your mind, Michelle, since you now live on the other side of the country from us.
Yeah. So I moved from New York to LA last year. So I've been in LA a little over a year now, and I am from the East Coast. I'm from New Jersey, and I went to school in Connecticut, and then I moved to New York City, which was a place I was pretty familiar with, and I loved it, and I had a great time, and I did a lot of acting training and did a lot of things and decided that I wanted to move to LA and try a new city, and kind of, I felt that I had always lived where I was from, and I wanted to go somewhere different. Yeah. And was intrigued by film opportunities over there.
Yeah.
And it was great. It was a great idea and a good move, even though I wasn't really prepared, I think, for how much culture shock there would be and how different the lifestyle would be, even though I did, I had an idea of what I was getting into. Like, I had lived there for a couple months beforehand. So I definitely still missed New York City. And I think one of the biggest things that I miss, and something that we could talk about right now, is stimulation, inspiration, and designing your life so that you can stay in the artistic game as long as possible. So, like, really being happy with that day to day.
It's funny because before I moved to New York, I lived in LA for about a year and a half, and a lot of those, I felt that my life was missing a lot of those things. And that especially when it came to inspiration and artistic stimulation, 90% of what I was getting at that time was coming from Skype conversations that I was having with Zach and with Emma Sherjarko, who both lived in New York. And with Skype conversations that I was having with Sarah, who was living in, I want to say, Chicago at the time?
Yeah, I was still in Chicago at that point.
Yeah. So those things were sort of like very big factors to how I felt that I was not really connecting with LA at the time. So I love that you're kind of thinking about our different cities in sort of those terms of, one more time, it was...
I think it was stimulation, inspiration, and then I think it was like contentment in a day-to-day.
Yeah. Designing your life for the marathon and not the sprint
that is
of living that creative life.
Yeah. And I feel like I had it a little bit easier. I mean, significantly easier in New York just because, I mean, I feel like I knew more people and I knew how to live in the city. And also New York is designed for that. Like, there's so many people doing the same thing as you. It's a 24-hour place. You walk outside. There's tons of people. However, I don't think that that problem is unique to LA, or I'm sure people feel that way in New York.
Oh, that's absolutely.
Why, oh, for sure.
That's why people leave, and I was just not one of them.
Yeah.
I just particularly like the vibe of this place vibed with who I am, also because I'm from the area. Too, I think, which is also
it sounds like
thing.
The always on-ness of New York is something that you feel missing.
Yes. And I feel like that's something that doesn't apply to other people who don't like that. Whereas like I love the feeling right. of being always on and then like passing out and waking up and doing it all over again.
Yeah.
There is something empowering about like I can be where I want to be and be doing what I want to doing at any point. At any time, pretty much anywhere in the city.
Whereas for some people, there's definitely kind of the sense of, no, there are things that inspire me and stimulate me here, but it gets drowned out. There's just so much, and it's all at such a high volume that I can't, you know, tune into any of it effectively.
Yeah.
I think we all sort of tend towards the other side of it, where we would much rather have sort of the flood where you can find the things that you specifically need, rather than kind of the more focused and contained.
And I think knowing people is very, very important. Like, I really enjoyed Chicago as a city. I liked it there a lot. But my friend group was super, super small. Hmm. And when I eventually moved out to New York City, where just a ton of my college friends were, and then everyone who worked, like, most people who were working on Wolf 359 were living in New York when I moved there. And it just... like it made living in a city so much easier and better.
Yeah, so I would also like to talk about kind of in I guess in more general, not so much city specific, like what you guys are doing to design your life so it's interesting, stimulating, and you're ready for the marathon. Or if you are not or are trying to, and like the conflict with that is.
You know, it's funny that we're doing this on, what is today, December 26th,
2018. Day.
I'm, for actually once in my life, thinking a little bit about New Year's resolutions and about kind of things that I want my life to change into when we get into the new year, and things that I want to do differently. And something that I've been giving a lot of thought to is... that I feel like I have been running this marathon and lying to myself by telling myself that it is just a bunch of small sprints and kind of tricking myself into like continuously sprinting and just never actually slowing down to a marathon speed, but just kind of always being sprinting. And that leads to moments like a moment that we had earlier this week, Zach, when we kind of looked at each other and sort of went, my God, we're going on 3 weeks without having a day off. We're going on 3 weeks of not having a day of not doing work, with a lot of those days being days that start at 9 a.m. and don't stop until 10 p.m. in some ways.
Yeah. Not sustainable.
Not sustainable at all. And so I've been thinking a lot more about, as much as our lives are unpredictable and we are often at the mercy of other people's schedules and we are often at the mercy of the, you know, the currents of freelance life, and that doesn't always play well with us schedule.
Which ironically Twitter thinks is a choice.
Yes, apparently.
Cute.
I'm interested.
Oh, there was a Twitter moment, like whatever, in their Explore news feature that all three of us got before we sat down to record, that was just like, millennials choosing to be freelancers. And it's like, well, like, let's talk about what a choice is.
I think it was a Wall Street Journal article that then Twitter was roasting.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, LOL, like, everybody wants their employees on a 1099. Like, what are you kidding? Like,
Right. Yeah. This is not like people being like, I love freelancing. This is the economy being like, we prefer to pay people less and no benefits.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yep. We prefer to not have full-time employees. Rather than we prefer freelancing.
Right.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
You were saying.
No, but like, I'm really trying to think about, like, how can I actually give myself a schedule? How can I give myself days that realistically have time off? How can I give myself days off?
Mm-hmm.
All of which I think that I've been treating as very, very optional for the last 3 years. And I think this year has really started to come home to roost and has really started to lead to either sort of days of nonstop working to the point that, like, I'm actually, like, a little bit worried about, like, the effect that that might be having on my health. Or days of kind of working but getting less done because I'm having trouble focusing, because I'm having trouble finding the energy or the sort of, like, creative acumen to just, like, move something forward because I'm not watering the horses, because I'm not sort of giving myself the space to do the things that need to be done between the marathon sprints, or not marathon sprints, but just between the sprints that have made up a very, very long marathon for a while.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that a lot too. And just, I think one thing that I'm working on is calibrating, and I talked about this a little bit before, calibrating day job work with creative work. And for a while now, I've felt like they've blended together into kind of just work, and I have not had a day off, like, all year. And just recently started being like, no, I don't do day job freelance work on the weekends. Like, that happens Monday through Friday, and I need to be able to make what I need to earn Monday through Friday. And so hard choices get made about when I can do other things. But yeah, definitely starting to feel that balancing sort of the resources to keep yourself going and doing creative work needs to be paid way more attention to in order to keep doing both of them well.
Yeah.
And this is the thing that so many people that are trying to break into the arts struggle with, that there's kind of this sense of, no, you can work your 8 hours at, like, the store, and then for fun, you can go and write that story that you want to write because that is fulfilling and fun.
And it's what right? you want to
and
do.
It's what you yeah. want mm-hmm. to do, yeah. right?
And then all of a sudden, everybody in your life is like, where have you been?
Yeah.
Or you're just so upset all the time because yeah. you feel like you're failing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like when you don't have a schedule, when you are a freelancer, when you're making your own schedule, like just like Gabrielle was talking about, you just get caught, or you can get caught in this cycle of like half working all of the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Like with, yeah, Sarah yeah. mentioned, sort of like the blob of work.
Yeah, and you're like
fills everything.
Kind of getting something done, but mostly you're just like feeling bad.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, you're just feeling behind all the time.
Yeah, and that kind of like, you know, you're trying to set hours for yourself. Like, I had a friend who was just talking about this and how she was like, okay, well, I work this job. I work as a bartender to pay my rent, and then I'm a writer and I have these writing projects. So I need to set up like a 40-hour full-time work week because I'm a full-time writer, and then this bartending job is on the side. And it's like, okay, you work a 40-hour work week if you're in retail, if you have an office job, if yep. you're in HR or whatever. If your job is coming up with ideas and writing about them, like a 40-hour work week, where'd you get that number from?
Right.
Yeah. You just got that's mm-hmm. an arbitrary number that like somebody made up years and years ago to denote a full-time workload so you like can get benefits from a company.
And
like,
schedule shifts at a factory.
And schedule yeah. shifts at a factory, you know? It's not like what a full-time writer or like a full-time artist.
Right, that's Henry
looks
Ford's
like.
Fault, not
yeah.
actually some truth for especially for this new age of sort of creative labor.
Mm-hmm. Or like this age of like What's everybody calling it? The gig economy?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Where we all have like multiple jobs where we go like gig to gig to gig. And it's like, no, you're not working. Like you might be doing it full time, but it's not a full time work week. It's project based and amorphous. And
you never have that. You're never without that pressure of, oh, I have a job.
Yeah.
Ooh, I can.
That
you know,
part of my life is settled.
Right, like I now just have my job that I can rely on until yeah. I decide to move on from it. It's always, I think, for everyone in this room, like, oh, great, I have a job for the next 2 weeks. Oh, joy, I don't need to be sending out cold emails to people for 14 days. The luxury.
Oh, cold emails. Oh, my God. Yep. Makes my skin crawl. Why? Why does it make my skin crawl, though? Here, that's something. Why does cold emails make my skin crawl? They're honestly probably one of the easiest things that you do, like when it comes down to like brass tacks of doing them. But the whole, just the whole thing.
I think that the 20th century did a very, very good job of educating most people that lived through it, even if it was only for a few years, of you don't bother people until they indicate that the door is open or that they are interested in being bothered. And if you knock on a door without an indication that someone is willing to open it for you, you are being so uncouth and you are being so uncivil. And you better have a damn good reason for knocking on that door.
Yeah, you are desperate and poor to knock. You wait to be invited in.
Whereas I've noticed that a lot of my friends who did not breathe that much air from the 90s have a lot less of that programming, as they have more are more native to the information age and are more native to kind of this like economy where everyone is always sort of hiring and everyone is always sort of looking for a new job and everyone is sort of keeping their eyes open.
Hilariously, I don't know if I've told you that much about my day job, Michelle, but most of it involves sending out cold emails. And really, like, I had that nervousness and that, like, I want to sort of soften the language as much as possible, because this is a grave imposition that I am doing for these prospective clients. But as I've gone on, it's been like, no, software engineers get about a million recruiter emails every week and they're numb to it unless it's good. And like, we are sort of, trapped in that, in sort of a shift in not only how we do work, but how we think about work.
And the paradigm, yeah.
Yeah, and how we relate to each other, both in jobs and out of jobs. And it's just sort of a fascinating time of flux, but does not lead to much stability or regenerative creative energy.
Yeah. Regenerative creative energy.
Yeah, I think, like, to answer your question of, like, how it's funny you bring up cold emails, just because I happen to be halfway through producing a course on cold emails for Udemy with a teacher that I met at my time at 1 month, the online school that I used to work at. And I guess, like as far as, like, life design goes, I feel like one of the things that I've been like working on sort of as a result of being the son of two people that work independently. Like my dad's a business consultant, has worked for himself for like over 30 years. And my mom's a musculotherapist. Like I've just been like slowly acquiring the things that I would need to rent to like do work as a video person. That wasn't a fart. That was my cat snoring.
It would be really funny if like the mic didn't pick it up.
Yeah.
But in case it did.
I think like we're sitting in the thing that I've designed to live in. That's just like everything I could imagine needing to rent to prove out a concept and test something. And it's imperfect. Like, we just shot a course here because, you know, I was working for 2 years, a little over 2 years at an online education company, watching people do something that, like, we could totally do and learning a ton about it. And not, you know, being the person that was going in front of the camera, just, you know, as we were in the nights and weekends at that company building Wolf 359, you know, it just, like, it occurred to me that working in media, there's like two different avenues that look like they're going to make money. One is like entertainment, which is a little bit of a like lottery. And then there's education, which is a little bit more of a
long-term lottery. Yeah. I'm kidding.
It's like, you know, like one is like the glamorous fun thing that like, if it, you know, pans out, like you could be the like wealthiest self-made person in human history,
or you could just be shouting into the void,
or more likely you'll be one of the few people shouting, you know, one of the many shouting into the void, versus like online education, there's maybe few people, you know, going after it. It might be less fun or like creatively fulfilling.
It's less sparkly.
Yeah.
No, someone once talked to me and used a term, and I had to ask him to explain it. It was a New York resume, and it was an internship at a creative company, followed by an entry-level job in a creative adjacent field. So like a copy room job, a job as an assistant editor, or like something that is not being a writer, being a director, being in front of the camera and being all sparkly, but is like in the field. And then a higher level job that is like in advertising or online education, or, you know, sort of slowly slipping away from the sparkliness, and then like a higher level job at an agency or at an education company or something that is just like in that second, on that second path. And the dude was like, yeah, this happens all the time.
Wow.
That's what he's like. These are New York resumes. People who live in New York start doing creative things and end up doing like ad work and education.
People lead
work.
Creative adjacent lives. Yeah. Wow.
But also, is that a sad thing?
I don't think so.
Exactly. Like, I think that's something I talk about like designing your life, and oftentimes like things that people like about creative industries when you're younger are not the reality of the creative industry.
Yeah.
Not you at find all. Something yeah. else. That's something.
I think it's all on how you live it. I think that like some people would like end up there and would just spend their entire life looking at their ghost version, walking on the other path, and just, you know, would hate themselves for it. Whereas other people just like find real meaning and find real validation in the work that they do end up doing.
Yeah. Can we talk about like nice things? Like what do we do to make your life stimulating and interesting and enjoyable?
Insert the sound of crickets.
That's funny.
I mean, this, right? This thing we're doing right now.
Yes. This, I think, brings tremendous joy into our lives. And I think that it is not just sitting in front of these microphones, but it is talking to people like the people that are in this room with me right now, who all have interesting perspectives, who, when I sort of say, I just saw this movie, are not just going to ask me, oh, how was it? And then kind of go, cool. But will actually ask incisive questions that will make me think more about what I saw, that will make me reflect upon the things that I experienced while I was with that piece of art, that will make me realize that it had given me things that I hadn't realized that I had, and will move me further. I think that like those conversations are some of the best and most enriching in my life.
Yeah, I love talking to people with different perspectives. And like, for instance, one of my best friends is in med school, and I was hanging out with her for a day. We went and got lunch with her other med student friends, who also all come from different walks, like came to med school from different perspectives. And it's like, that was great. That was so inspiring and so much fun. Or just, I mean, doing something goofy. Like, I love having arts and crafts nights. And the whole idea of curating my free time and my life in a way that makes me happy. Like, I love hosting parties and having people around and like maintaining old friendships and strong social connections. And I think like that's something that makes my life really enriching, and like it's enabled by the way that I live it. So if I'm happy with how I'm living my life, then I could do anything for a long time, I think.
Absolutely.
Right. Like, I think I've discovered this year that what I spend my time on is way less important than who I spend my time with.
Yeah.
And I think like that coupled with like doing a little bit more of a sanity check before I start a new project that I'm probably going to overcomplicate, and getting like feedback to just simplify and like turn the triple Lutz into like just like a single Lutz is like fine. Like, this show I think is like a breakthrough for us in not overcomplicating what we want to share with the world. Because like Wolf was incredible, but also like took years out of each of our lives. And like
for a moment, I thought that you were just gonna say took years. I was like, yeah. And then you were like, took years out of our lives. I was like, oh yeah, that too.
But like, and then like, and then
shaves
some
a
disproportionate
couple ones off
to
the
like,
end.
Yeah, right. Like the telomeres definitely took a hit. And that is the ends of our genes that get whittled down with aging.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know, some crazy billionaire is probably working on fixing that. But
so actually one of my friends, med student friends, is on a track to get an MD PhD and currently is thinking that he wants to work on telomeres.
Whoa.
Goddamn.
Whoa. That's awesome. Well,
intersection.
Bryce and Cutter are hiring.
Oh dear.
I feel, was the question answered?
I'm not
Are
sure.
We still in it?
I think we may just be like talking about how we sustain ourselves for to deal with all of the stressful stuff that we vented earlier.
And I think it's interesting you use the word stimulation. Like, as somebody who was diagnosed and drugged for ADD, like, I feel like in many ways I was overstimulated as a kid. And I found a lot of value in relaxation. I had a fantasy of like living in the middle of New York City in Manhattan. And the reality is I live really far out in Brooklyn, and I've loved that reality. The quiet is, you know, and obviously there are trucks and stuff, which aren't awesome, but having privacy and quiet has been something that I didn't expect to love as much as I do. Future.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at patreon.com/nobadideas. And if you love the show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks. See you next week.